Zelensky. I think it might be an English version. And it's just on the border between B and C. It's on the beginning of the electronic thing. It's 80, 90 years old. And he's doing a game with a point. And he says a geometrical point is a non-seeable element, and Sony is telling talking about the point like a very strange entity and animal. So, and for example, this this game with the point. You see the point here, here, and here. And he says, "Today I go into the cinema." So, today I go into the cinema, and you see the meaning is completely changed completely, not because of the words, but because of the point. So the point is completely rearranging the meaning of the sentence. Again, today I go into the cinema. Again, yeah, depends on the location of the point. It is rearranging the whole system. And there's a lot of these kind of games. Or today I go into cinema and you have the point here. And the point is freeing itself from, and it's again, now it's even out of the text itself. So you can imagine it might be the projection of the cinema, or the cinema itself, or this might be you on the way to the cinema. It's now it's not any longer in the part of the sentence, so it's freeing. So it's a really strange attitude, because it's the point always is nothing and all, depending on where it is located, what the content is, and so on. These kind of games, they are located here. In the 19th and the 17th and the 18th century, people wouldn't have done these kind of abstract gaming with elements. So, now we want to focus on the point. Today, and we have these three categories, and you want to go look at the geometrical point, at the mechanical point, this will be the main part, and the electrical point. This is what we want to find out what it is. It's the complicated part. Nobody really knows what it is. So now the geometrical point. A few slides about things we already discussed. This, for example, is three apples. And at the beginning, they had a certain name for this three apples. So it was two apples was another concept than three apples. And three apples was another concept in one apple. And people did not separate the object from the counting. So they, for example, called three apples banana and two apples strawberry and one apple apple. So they really get another name for an amount of the same. And then it became like this. That's it, separated the counting from the element. They realized that it's the same whether I have three sticks or three apples, and the counting can be decoupled from the object. In the beginning, it was not decoupled. So three apples has been an entity, and it got a certain name. Three sticks has been an entity, it got a certain name, three sticks. And to separate this from the object has been a big step. And this step leads to the, for example, to the what necessary that you can decouple the counting from the object leads to the that you're able to make these kind of stretches and decouple it from the apples. And then you say three apples, point. And you can have And this is a kind of calculation there. So the same thing with all these holy signs. So, yeah, this is the same kind of thing. All these signs, because they are like this, and they're always the same, have a very certain holy meaning. And you just combine them and you find certain stories with that. And you can't change that, because they are true by just by being there, and people believe in these kind of signs. And in our now here with Christianity, the cross is still of this importance. So you have a lot of signs, but if you take this cross, then this is a holy sign. Your body can disturb that. And this should be with all the others in ancient times. So, and then this curious invention that people did not any longer put meaning to the objects itself, to the persons who are, or the priests who are telling something, or to these holy signs. They just find out how to decouple the meaning and the description, the signs from these objects, from the meaning, to construct it. And they just put it not to the hands, the things they are able to grasp, but to your to the speech. And they found a strategy just with 24 different signs to describe everything what can be thought and what can be told, and construct the meanings. That's an interesting part of that. So they're able to combine 24 signs just by combination, and to get by this combination, they get the meaning. And the problem with that is that you do not able whether you can trust this combination or not. This had not been the problem with your signs, if not have the problem if you have this this iconography, because it's a holy sign. But if you are able to create any combination, then it's a complicated thing to check whether it's true or not. So therefore, in combination with these 24 signs, there came this kind of proof. And the interesting thing is that they are able to decouple from the signs. They are able to decouple the reflection of the signs. So they see that if you follow the shadow, it's the same everywhere. And there are two different entities. One is the entity of the substance, of the matter, of the holy thing, the originally holy thing. And the other is that you can follow the shadow and get this line, this imaginary line. And you see that this imaginary line follows the same principle wherever you are. And I told that this is a pyramid for the pocket. So it's just so. And with this kind of second layer and the moral, as it sticks from Deleuze, is dealing with all these kind of layers always. So this separating of the layers, this makes the thing possible that you are able to trust in this kind of abstract logics of geometry, and yeah, and say then it's true. If something is moving like that, then it must be as important as a pyramid. Then it's true. And there are the priests and everything. And this is from Thales. This is one of the key stories. About the foundations of Western culture. And now we can see how this works. For example, if you have two numbers, the 10 and the 17, then you easily can say, this is 10, you just circle it. Yeah? Then you circle the rest, and if this fits, you have you are able to count and multiplicate and so on, and bring them into a certain order, these two numbers. So it's always this kind of ordering in a precise rhythm how things are made. This is an original chunk of Euclid, and you see there is no mathematical formula. It's a sentence. It's just a, you see, this is a direct translation to English. And they are not writing formulas, they're writing sentences about that, names and so on. So this geometry is just proving whether a sentence is right. What your spelling is can be trusted. Very few sketches. So, and then these kind of ordering in the mid ages. And these are the tools for that. If you're organizing this a certain order, you just trust the matter and move them in a certain way. And treat the matter as they are. And you're just treating them in a certain way. So, and therefore, for this, for example, is I didn't know whether I showed it. This is very strange that they built this huge building, this aqueduct, just to put water there. Because they took the water at this, the water is flowing down, and if you want to bring the water to a certain point, then you have to build this aqueduct. So, and they just calculated what is better, carry the stones once or carry the water all the days. And they decided to carry the stones and bring them in a certain geometrical order so that it's working. So they're doing these strange things. So all this is on this level. And now look at this guy.
No centrifugal pumps from the outside. In this section, we'll look at them from the inside and focus on internal
and look,
components.
Now look at the parts and off. This is not longer as they are, and not the parts are the center. In the center is how they are configured and how the interplay is of the parts. The relationality is, it's important. And look how he's explaining that.
Are visible. Internal ones aren't until the pump is drained.
So it's telling, as we discussed yesterday, internal, external.
Centrifugal pumps have six main internal components.
Components.
The pump
yeah,
shaft.
Parts of the system and so on.
Wear rings. The volute. Packing or mechanical seals. And bearings. The internal parts of a centrifugal pump are mounted on the pump shaft. It's a single piece of metal that's been machined to fit the pump perfectly. The shaft is usually made of stainless steel or some other corrosive resistant material.
No, it's working in
talking
about material. There's a term which
replacing broken or worn out shafts is expensive.
Expensive.
Some pumps have a shaft sleeve or a metal cylinder that fits over the shaft and protects it from damage. It's easier
protection.
And cheaper to replace this sleeve than the shaft itself.
If you're looking for concepts, yeah, just
this circular device is an impeller.
No, he's explaining
the impeller
all the different
fits on the shaft,
elements,
and it's usually
the
pressed
key
on.
Interest is not any longer
it can be
the part, but
by several
the role of the part in the
but
system.
The most common is with a key and keyway. The impeller is the most critical part of the centrifugal
so,
pump.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's signed.
So, and this is a typical story from, so if you have the water here and the aqueduct, here you have the pump. So. So, and the water is down. This is important. The water is running down because it's running down. What else? This is a natural order. And this is, the water is running up. That's important. Very strange thing. And people that do not any longer interest, only engineers interested in the machines, and the others just say, okay, water is going up. And then you can put the pipes under the ground, and the problem with the water is vanished. It's away. And this is the kind of aesthetics is that you say, oh, it was so nice that water is falling down, yeah? It's running down. But our cultural situation is that water is coming where we want to have it. Because of this machine. And because of we are not looking at the elements, but to the system, the relations of elements. These are the main thing. So this is an example from here to here. And you see there's a categorical shift. And we always have to look for these kind of cathedral shifts, for this kind of discontinuities. That's important. That you can play around with, for example, with water in a complete other way. So, now with the, what does it mean? Just to again, this, for example, is a geometry. We have these kind of orders. This is something like the natural order, this kind of. So. And here we have these kind of calculations. So here we have geometry. Here we have arithmetic. And the arithmetics is the kind of dynamic. It's how to combine the numbers. And here we have the natural numbers. And here we have the rational numbers. So these are the kind of. Here we have the 7, for example. So, I think I suggest that you put these three things and try to find what it is. Always these three things. It's a very simple thing, but if just try to find if there's something here for example, geometry. You just look what it is here, and the question now is what is here? Just make real research and try to find it. Or if this is a rational number, a natural number, what is here? Or if you have the water and the pump, what is here? Yeah? And now you understand, if in this context, for example, with the pump or with the aqueduct, you can understand what the rational number is in difference to the natural number. So the natural number is you have the things for real. Yeah? Because they are in a proper order. And therefore you always say 3 is a holy number, 13 is a number which is for you're unlucky with the 13, you have to. So therefore the interest in the prime numbers, because they're so strange and unique. Others are very friendly, for example, the 2, the 4, the 6, the 12 is friendly number. All these kind of ordering is an attitude like this, to organize the naturality of numbers. here is a production of numbers. So it's interplay of numbers of the rational things. So you're not any longer interested in what it is, so, but how it behaves or how it can be constructed. And you have an unlimited bigger amount. So it's an interplay between these numbers, and the interesting thing is that if you have, for example, a 7, you have an unlimited amount of ways to produce the 7. You can have a lot of these lines of arithmetics just to produce a 7. And you have to decide. So the center is not any longer the number. The center is the arithmetics, so it's a plus, a minus, a cross, the potentially, and so on. So this is important. The question is, what is there? So the same thing is now with, for example, the gravity. This is drawing from Newton. And the idea is that the world is made of points, and the points are not orchestrated in a system, that any point is in this geometrical order, pre-given without any reason. It's just mystical. The interesting thing is that any point is not connected to an external, but connected to the other, so all the others. So the world is out of trillions of points, trillions and trillions of points, and each point is connected to each other. That's the idea here. So each number can be calculated with any other number by arithmetics. Or if you put it to the space, you see all these kind of points, and then you find out the pattern of this relationality. You find that, for example, in gravitation, you find that if this is a point, if this is a point, major point, and you find these kind of lines, straight lines between the points. And this is what, this kind of, every point is with the other. And then you find the, this kind of gravity. These are the kind of, if you're here, then you follow these lines as a path through the world of the trillion of other points. So you get from the depth of one point to a movement in a plane. This is the idea of the coordinate system. This is the idea of these kind of functions. So you forget all the points and just reduce to the shortest way, for example. This is a game of modernity. And this kind of concentration and of the shortest way in the interplay of everything with everything. These kind of functions. And then this really strange idea that the whole world can be described by this simple function, any part of the world, by this function in any future, and in all the history, and this can be turned in future and forth and back, and everything is working across these kind of formula. This is a strange idea of Newton. This is gravity. And you say, can't be like that. And of course it can, but it's a powerful tool to concentrate on the thing. So if we have that, this is corresponding, this is a point, the point in one person with connected with all the others in an order, in an old-fashioned order of the movement. So, and then you find the shortest way. And for example, the perspective construction is, you have this point of the spectator, you have this point of the environment, and you find a mechanism, an interplay between two numbers, the object and the spectator, you find an algorithm to get this point, and this is a perspective construction. You get an image out of that. So a perspective is an image of this relationality of a point. This is the corresponding mathematics behind it. This is by Newton as well. So if you have this, this kind of quality, so this is a potentiality. It's called, this is how much it is connected to so this is connected to four other points. If you have 500, it's connected to 500 points. So this is an entity which has a relationality of four, or a potentiality of four. So if you have 500, it's a 500. If you have unlimited, then you are with Newton and with all this kind of potentiality. So an interesting thing is that he succeeded in transferring these kind of potentiality into a linear equation in a polynomial of smaller degrees, which means you can put it in put it forth and forth, and you can put that to a two-dimensional thing, which can be projected as and drawn as lines on a plane. So you can have this kind of potentiality and are able to reduce the complexity of one point and bring that to a line. One segment of a line, another segment of a line, another segment of a line, and so on. So you can have an unlimited potentiality of one point and bring it to an unlimited chunks of small lines. So you transfer the complexity of one point and are able to project it to the linearity of your coordinate system. So you can, and this is analytical geometry. So this means you can have the complexity of one element, for example, of your person. It can be unlimited, it can be irrational. This is what Newton did. And you're able to project it and make an image out of that. So, I for myself do not really understand all this stuff, but I think it's important to understand and keep in mind that the mathematics is some anchor point for philosophy, for technology, for culture, and so on. And this is what people over the last 2,500 years really trust in these kind of mathematics. And it's important that this strange mathematical thing was a driver by the same person who made the gravity, which made modern mechanics, which is the technical driving force here. He first made this mathematical statement. So that what is in our mathematics here, what is in mechanics and so on here, is just like something like a machine made out of this principal mathematical, arithmetical combinations. So So what we currently are doing is that we say that this is all is done here. That we say, okay, if it's 4 points we connect with, or if it's 400, then it's enough. We always say it's enough. And we adjust, and this is part here B. We always say it's enough. We do not need more. So we calculated enough. We do not need more. No more qualities here, no more quantities here, and so on. Then this is a form of pragmatism in doing that. So these kinds of machines, we've seen that directly following that, this kind of cartography, and then this kind of pragmatism in organizing the elements, in covering the planet, in logistic, a worldwide logistic, getting points from the planet, putting it into a building, and cover it and enclose it to a shelf, an artificial shelf. And this is the beginning from here to here. And the kind of factories, just to control the whole mechanism description of the world. So now here, this is wood as an energy source. And they cut whole Italy, cut whole southern France, whole Greece, because they really had an energy crisis. There was no chance to get other energy than your body, the animals, and the wood. A little water, but there was no technology, no idea to get the wind with the windmills. No idea this time how to do that. Just with the water, a little mills. And then if this is one chunk, and there's really an energy crisis. Then with the coal, this is factor 100. And the coal has been very dangerous because it was poison. And you first have to change the matter of the coal, clean it, and then you had been able to use it. And of course they had coal, but they didn't know what to do that in these times. Because they took the things for real, just as they are. And they see, this is a chunk of coal, and this is poison. No idea that you can change that. That's a strange thing. And you need this kind of mathematics, you need this kind of technology to get the idea that you can change the objects in their substance. And this, for example, is a term, the concept matter. It's here. This is substance. And this is matter. This is the concept we are playing around with Deleuze. Matter is something you are able to construct out of in this rational way. Substance is as it is in a geometrical plane. So, because you've been able to change matter, you've been able to build this crystal palace, a super big thing, because you're able to make the iron beams, not out of stone, but of iron. This was fast. You have to be able to do that with glass. And you're able to clean the coal, and you have a factor 100 times more energy. This is the key, the energy key for the industrialization. And this instantly produces 10 times more inhabitants in Europe and 10 times more energy consumption per person. And now, again, we are at the limits of this behavior with the matter. So if you've seen with the in the building, as a point, this was a brick, just putting it as it is. We had the pump and for the water. And if you go into the construction, we had it with Paxton and this crystal palace, or we have it with this tiny thing with my master, Fritz Haller. And this play of relationality, of relations, of mechanical relations about building constructions. And this is, from my perspective, most abstract thing on this kind of building construction here. So we have, this is the brick, and here we have this note. Yeah, and the question is, what is here? So, this is an interesting film. It's this Konrad Wachsmann. You see, it's a small machine of this size. He did it in California in 69, the motion machine. And you see the interplay of the geometry of the generic note and the movement to fit the generic notes, the generic movements. And the note is, you see it here, and this machine is doing all the possible movements to fit notes of this kind. And I can show you. You see the node in the middle. And now the machine. And you see it's not important that the node is like this, it's important that you get all the relations. And because of this thinking, it's the same like Newton with all the points, the same with the functions, which is a concentrate and say, this is the shortest line, the same like the perspective, the shortest line between all the different lines which are there, the shortest is a perspective. So it's the same kind of thinking, and therefore it's B. And it's not the object here, it's the relation of the object. The brick is the object. And this is a non-object. You had these kind of tools, for example, to deal with wood in the A version. And you have this. This kind of machine to deal with wood in the B version. Yeah, you see, this tool is only working if you have a machine, you have this kind of rotation, you understand the line and so on, and then you have a very precise idea what can be done in principle. It's not the same with these primary tools. So this Beitel, this is a German word, is here, and this saw, rotary saw, is here. And again, like with wood and with coal, the performance of the hand thing, yeah, like this. It's again 1 to 1,000. So just by seeing that you can substitute a direct geometrical ordering by a geometrical movement, just a fast rotation and then moving it across that. This is the interesting thing with this saw is that it's rotating in a fast way, and then you have a linear cut, which is 100 times or 1,000 times faster than which can be thought before. So here, like this, like this animation of Waxman here, you see that this is the same thinking. This is from Matrix. And you see what he stands there? This is a still in 0.01 second. And the camera, the observer, is moving around. And this is done by having a cave, a blue screen or green screen in this way. They built around a unique color around an environment, and they made 120 cameras around there, photo cameras like this. And then she jumps up, and then they made all the photos. And then we made out of the photos, they are doing an animation. And then you see that she's just staying in the air, and the camera is moving. So this is a very modern interpretation of the same thing. Yeah. So it's the point on the level B, mechanical point. Look. What you need is 120 of these cameras and a cable, and then you have it. So, all this is the same thing, the panopticon. And the interesting thing is that they had these are prison. This is a prison, and each cell there is one prisoner. And to observe them with one guy here and a machine and a gun. Therefore, this is built like that.
Where is this?
This is built. This type is. This is in America somewhere, but they built it 100 times in the world. It's just to make it cheap to look at all the prisoners. Very famous building typology. And this is a ruin. And this is interesting because if you combine that with surveillance with cameras in the subways and so on, you see the same thing. And you see that here, it's this kind of principle to observe that. This is like a machine, but it's always with B. It's connected to a geometrical understanding. And for example, if you have the panopticum here, no idea to have it here like that, because the prisoner is a prisoner, and the prisoner has to be fixed somehow, or punished, or killed, or whatever, very direct. And you have to look for that, it's working directly. To abstract like this is a B, therefore you get this building typology, like panopticon. And this here, for example, are the surveillance systems we have in the cities. From our perspective today, it's absolutely crazy to make a geometrical solution for that, because it's so simple. They just have an internet cable and a small camera, or some electronic vessels or whatever, which are absolutely non-geometric. So to build something like this for prisoners, or for observing prisoners, is a mechanical thinking, and for us today it's completely absurd doing things like that. Yeah. So this nice camera, this was built by friends of mine. This a sensor, a line sensor, 800 pixels in one line, RGB color, very big depth in color, and then it's rotating. It's a scanner, a 360 degree scanner, and if you have a fish eye on that, and you have get a picture with an extreme high resolution, 8,000 by 80,000 pixel, which is a sphere, a complete sphere. So, and you get this kind of images, but you know that. Uh, Yeah. The problem here always is that you have to get out of the tripod. So, and because you have a lot of pixels, huh? And I like this kind of. So an interesting thing is that this is every photo. So with a conventional photograph, you are somehow with a picture like this. You are somehow here, so you have to take a picture on a certain position. You have to understand what you want, and then you're doing the photo. And this is in every photo because you're just making the photo. And the things, what you want to look, which section, which lens, and so on, it's completely abstracted from that because you can choose it as an observer. So there's every possible photograph at this certain point of time, at this location. So they mainly sell that for crime. So if it's a murdering or an accident, they just put the camera there, make a photo, and then they have everything on this photo, and they do not have to care they do not miss some details.
But you don't know what's behind the tree.
Now they have to make three of them, and then it's okay. Three of these photos, and then they have everything, and if they can measure. That's interesting. So they have three of these photos, and then they can pick a point here, a point there, and a point there, and then they can measure and get a three-dimensional scenario of the whole thing if they want, and measure the distances and all. And this all can be done after taking photos, not before. And with these kind of cameras, you always have to plan that. You have to be careful, you have to be skillful, just not to oversee things, disturb things, and so on. With this, put there, talk, three photos, and then you're fine. For any purpose. And this is a big selling point for this camera. They started with interesting thing with the NASA and with movie industry and so on, but the big selling thing is this for crime. So all this is B. That's important. So we are using some high technology, electronics, and so on, but the way how we are using it, it's just the fantasy of B. It's no difference to the panopticon in the principles of how to behave. It's not so. That's important to understand, even if it's using electronics. Hello. And again, this kind of rendering. If you have this kind of, interesting again, if you have this kind of panoramic 360 degrees panoramic photo, this spherical photo, you can abstract from the angle and from the lens and from the size and just look around with the computer, or you can have this kind of rendering to put it flat to one. Photo, and then you get this. It's called a micro planet or mini planets, and so on. You can find a lot of these pictures. And this is like I worked with him in Karlsruhe. Again, the same idea, yeah? The only thing is that you're looking to this kind of spherical rendering, the overall image. You look from the outside to this kind of scenario. And it took him one or two years in rendering, taking all that. And the overall rendering time for this short animation in 1992 was 3 months. Rendering time on acidic graphics. And to see that this is not new, all this, you look at this guy, Paramedianio, and he's from the beginning of the 17th century. And you see it's the same. Just deforming it, transferring it, and so this beginning of B, and they just started doing that. So there's an interesting distinction. So you have the mathematics, you have these kind of concepts, what we try to find. You have certain technologies, and you have these kind of artifacts. So what the hypothesis, all this is extremely critical, and all the specialists in these fields, they will kill me, but it's just to get a relative. So you first have the math, then you have the concepts, then you have the technology, and then you have the artifacts. So, and of course it's like this, and it's back again. So these are the lines of sediments and so on, just to construct as you have in the Deleuze text. So, but these are renderings. The interesting thing is that this is a rendering in paintings with very low technology, with technology from this time. But it's a rendering of this kind of mathematics and these kind of concepts of B with these tools. And the only difference between the animation for this panoramic camera or this animation of Vaslavik, this myth with a child, is that they have the same concept, but they render it in an electronic technology. So they just put it into another pass, not on concepts, not on mathematics, but on technology and on artifacts. So if technology was computer renderings, CAD systems, video, artifacts was a video. Then we strongly believe that especially mathematics is far most at the top. It's the most stable reference of this. Therefore, we always insist with the numbers and the geometry and so on. So now the point, set value. So we have processing. We use processing because it's so easy and so fast to get multimedia effects with them. You can have you have a very good learning curve. You are able to use all these new programming paradigm, like object-oriented programming, like swarms, emergent systems, L systems. You can render it into two or three dimensional. You can render it into audio or in video and images and so on. This all is very fast and easy to handle. So it's a good learning curve. You can have all the advanced paradigms in programming. It's scalable to professional Java programming, that's important. And you can render it into all the popular formats, which are impressive for artists, for architects, for musicians, and so on. and therefore it extremely fast got interesting for people like you, if you want to start programming. And for example, now here, and if I will give some examples. So here, for example, now we have this background. This is it's a grid of uh, 964, 545 of this Cartesian system. So we have this kind of mathematics concept, and the technology is computers, and artifact is the video screen. But we're using the Cartesian coordinate system. Okay, and now this is to make a point. You see, this is the background, the color, a gray, and now the smooth that you want to have this anti-aliased, no line, only the fill color. The fill color is black. This is red, green, and blue. zero means no red, no green, no blue, which means it's black. If you do this 255, it's white. And then draw an ellipse in the center with the diameter of 10, and this is the point. So this is a certain code, a rendering in these B concepts with C technology. Without knowing, and that's a problem today, without knowing we know we have math A B C. There should be things like that. We have concepts. We have technologies, and we have artifacts. So we are using this, and this. So this is what mainly is done with computers. So in the same with us, of course, we are using computers, we are drawing points, and we are using this concept and this mathematics. But we know there should be concepts, there should be mathematics behind it, which makes the technology possible. And this is what we are looking for. The training of this module is just to get an idea that there must be something, and an idea how to get this into research. And you can make a research just by looking what is the origin of this technology, because without this concept and this mathematics, there can't be this technology what we are using, with this complete different behavior like the mechanical machines. There is something behind it. But the strange thing with CAD systems is that you're just using this path. And if you put, and this is what people are afraid of, if we have one, and we have 100, and we have 10,000 minimum in performance. And therefore, the people are afraid. They think in this concept, and they're afraid of this performance.